Good morning, everybody. Isn't it wonderful to sing of the Lord's love for us and how it flows out of his heart to us? And it's his love within our hearts that then overflows from us to one another. And it's that same love that overflows in our relationship with our Link Diocese in Kagera and binds us together as Christians in a family around the world under God as our loving Heavenly Father. So it's a real joy for me this morning to welcome Justin here from Tanzania, because we only met yesterday, but we are brother and sister in the Lord, and we feel that bond between us of love, that because we know that Jesus is our Saviour, and it doesn't matter where we come from, if we know the Lord, we are united in love and in friendship. And in that second song, we sang about friendship, God's friendship with us. And again, it's our friendship that binds us together with Kagera. And so you'll see on your seats, I've put out a few leaflets. I didn't put one for everyone, partly because I wanted you to be able to see a map and give you a little bit of an idea of Kagera in the middle of Africa. And on the shore of Lake Victoria there. There's a display at the back which gives you more information about our link and the long history. It's 22 years now since we started the link. Some of you will remember back in 1994 when Paul was the curate here, and the link began at the very time when the Rwandan refugees fled across the border from our beloved Rwanda, where we had been missionaries, into our new link diocese. So have a look at the board. There are more detailed leaflets at the back if you'd like them. But you can see that our link is about friendship and partnership. And Justin, in his work, is a friend of Kagera. So I'm going to interview him now and get him to tell you a lot more useful information than I can ever give you. So let's just start with who he is, because, you know, we do need to get this sorted out. So tell us where in Tanzania. We know you're Tanzania. Where did you come from, Justin?
I'm Justin, born and grew in the southern highlands of Tanzania. And now working for Tear Fund, staying in the central part of the country, which is Dodoma, but working throughout in some parts of the country where Tear Fund works.
Including Kagera.
Including the diocese.
Which is your link diocese.
Yeah. And just tell us, have you got a family you've left behind in Dodoma?
Yes, I'm married to one wife. Because in Africa, some people marry more than one wife. But I'm married to one wife, being a Christian. And we are blessed with two children. I have a son who is 14 and a daughter who is 11, turned 11 3 days ago.
So he missed her birthday.
So I missed her birthday. Yeah.
So when you go back to Tanzania, please take greetings from St. Matthew's Church to your family, and a happy birthday greeting to your daughter from us, because she missed having her daddy there on the day that it was her birthday.
I'll do that.
Thank you. And Justin, tell us about your work with Tear Fund, and particularly, of course, what you're doing in relation to Kagera.
Okay, so probably maybe many of you have heard about Tear Fund, which is a UK-based charity and does two main things. One is relief, especially on emergency cases. So it could be some response in Syria, South Sudan, or DRC, Congo, where there's emergencies. But also, second is transformational development, which is about changing people's mindset and worldview about development, and trying to help people get out of extreme poverty. And that's a bigger part of the work that we do in Tanzania with the partners. And Tear Fund supports churches to do that. And therefore, we work through the diocese, some of the Anglican church dioceses, including the Diocese of Kagera. And now, narrowing down to Kagera, we do a program called Church and Community Mobilization Process. It is all about working with people to first change mindset that where they are, there are resources they can use, and also to help them work together to develop strategies and plans and work through the plans to get out to get out of poverty. It is through also some, but we start with Bible studies, because Bible tells us a lot about the resources that we have, the blessings that God has blessed us, and the importance of utilizing the time we have in our lifetime to get out of poverty. And that's one thing we do with the communities, and it has really worked with the Diocese of Kagera, especially in some of the communities that we have been. But also we help them in the when we realize the challenges they have, when we go into issues of resources, and mainly finance, because the world without money, it becomes a little difficult. And families that are poor, one of the indicators of poverty is not only money, but one of the indicators is how much do they have at home to be able to afford their lives. So we support them, establish savings groups and start savings, because banks are not there, but also, so you cannot get loan. And we know that if you want to engage much, you need to have resources. So in the village, in the community, they start saving themselves, and then from there they grow their capital. They are able to, one, to build a culture of saving, even when they have little, but two, to be able to access loan for what they want to do. But then because they build a culture of saving, then they are able to afford more things. The third thing is, one of the big challenges in the Diocese of Kagera is related to health, and mainly two things: waterborne diseases and maternal health. In waterborne diseases, is really related to the hygienic behavior that people have in that area, which is about having the water is not safe. So how do you make the water safe for drinking? And how do you yourself develop a behavior that is sanitary, so that you don't, because most of the waterborne diseases are caused by the action that you take. So that one. But also on maternal health is many mothers expecting who are pregnant don't go for clinic. And when they don't go for clinic, the likelihood of either both dying or child or a mother dying becomes very high. And that we have dealing with, discussing with the communities to change the behavior, though it's a bit of a challenge due to the distance from, sometimes from the where they are to the clinic, to the dispensary, and kind of those things. Mainly, it's not about tier fund or the diocese doing, but it's all about facilitating the community to solve the problems, working with the communities to see how can we do together to sort out the challenges that we have.
So you really work to help change the way people think about themselves, and therefore use their own initiative to make changes in their lives.
Yes, because we believe wherever you are created to be, so God put you there, and God cannot put you there without having resources to survive. The only thing you have to do is to discover self, to know where are the resources that God wanted you to use in your place, and what effort are you making to ensure that the resources that are there are fully utilized, and remove the dependence. Because we know that if you keep thinking that one person somewhere will support you in a lifetime, there's no level of development can come out of that. It's only when you yourself are able to move from your, you know, poverty starts from the head. So to remove your poverty from the head and take action from yourself, because we don't have any experience of one being developed by being helped by other person, but you can only be sustained your life, but not getting from one step to the other. You can get food because one is giving. You can probably send a child to school because one is giving, but you cannot develop from one level of poverty to the other if you yourself are not taking action. And that's what we want communities to understand, And when they're mobilized and they understand, yes, they get from one step to the other. Yeah.
Can you tell us perhaps one or two stories of communities or individuals, what they've done and how their lives have been changed? What impact CCMP, Church and Community Mobilization Process, is having?
Yes, I'm going to give... I think this is going to be simple. I'm trying to make it simple. I'll use a bit of numbers, but I not complicated. This is a community that we started working with them 2 years back. And two things that have changed. One is when we started, because we have been able to measure. So when we started, their household income is six people in the house, was £200 a year. So that is their annual income average. And we have worked with them for 2 years to try and change their lives, look for the resources, and find how they can do. It is amazing, though it may not be amazing to you, but the increase of their household income in 2 years was 50%. Now their household income is £300, which is huge in 2 years. And our expectation is in 5 years, it's going to be higher. What does it mean? This means they are able to afford more by 50% than when it was before. And that we did without giving them money. It's from the process, the transformation process. That is one. And two, this is a community where only 20% of the community were able to afford £4 insurance a year for health. Because the government gives, you have to pay £4 for you to be on insurance per year. Only 20% of the community. In 2 years when we did the program, all of the people that were in those groups were able to afford the £4. That's 100% £4 affording. And from the last one, I could tell more, but just for because of time, all of them had not saved before. No saving, you know, no bank, no credit card, no debit card, no Barclay card, whatever, you know. So from no saving, the average saving in that community when we did the analysis in 2 years was £79, which means 79, eh? Which was really, from no saving to that in a year, it's great. We see change. That is without giving them money, but in just transforming their lives. Spiritually also, so we found out what is the contribution to the spiritual growth. The increase of people going to church, because that is all through Bible studies and talking to people, the increase was 45%. So like we assessed in some of the churches, there are about, the community is in the village, an average of three churches to four churches. So we assessed all the churches and the increase was 45%. This means 45 people in every 100 people were going to church, which also was amazing. But the most empowering was women, because you know women in Africa are more disempowered because of the decision-making capacity and kind of. But what I've just said, the groups composes of 70% women, and because they now have resources, the decision-making are higher and reported lower cases of violence. So kind of, if I gave individual stories, there are so many, but I think this gives you the picture on what happens when we do that work.
Thank you, Justin. The work of CCMP is really amazing. Paul and I have been fortunate enough to actually be in Tanzania, and if you want to go, you need to come and talk to me, because there's nothing like experiencing it yourself to really understand how the Christian message impacts the practice of living. And it does for us too. So this final thing, Justin, tell us how we can be praying for you in your role in Tear Fund and for the CCMP project in Kagera.
Okay, so Kagera is one of the places that has really been affected by the refugees. For more than close to 20 years, the place was full of forests, good, green, and no signs of change of climate then. But the coming refugees goes with deforestation, and that affected a lot the area. And even the weather started to change. So, like, they've never experienced floods, but this year there was big flooding that caused also some people go get a challenge of food. And we have been seeing that gradually because of the kind of activities that refugees... Now, most of them have... They had left, but now, you know, Burundi, there is a big challenge. So now we are hosting a rescue. Currently, they close to the area, they are hosting close to 200,000 refugees flowing from Burundi. And so probably the problem can get worse. But most of the Rwanda had already gone because it's peaceful now. But now there's a challenge of Burundi. We need to pray for the area because the people there, when you see people flowing, coming to you, even when you don't have food, the little you have, you have to give them to eat. Sometimes even the government or UN, the United Nations refugees people, they are not the first to feed these refugees when they come. They are the people that they meet there. The churches there, I've seen people in church, sleeping in churches like this on their way to the refugee camps. So we need to pray for them as they do that. But also the work itself. So what do we do is really working with people. Because if we want to change the nation, we need to touch the poorest people's life. And that is touching their physical change, but also touching their spiritual change. And that's not quickly, clearly understood by not only Tanzanian, but also people around the world. Because the world view has been support by giving handout, which is very important, but is not sustainable. And I don't say that you'd not give food to a starving person, but after you've given food, think of 100 days, whether it could be a way one person can be sustainable. So we need to pray for God guides us on how we can do it right. The guidance of God towards what we do in changing the worldview of the people that we want to serve. And pray for our families. In my office, we are five of us in Tiafand. I head Tiafand in Tanzania, and then the other staff that supports me in supporting people when we work. Pray for our partners. Our partners are churches. So like the Diocese of Kagera, we have other dioceses that we work with in other areas of the country. So we pray for them that they are not just accountable to us or to whoever, but they're accountable to God, and that what they do is what God wants them to do.
Thank you, Justin. Yeah. So I'm just going to repeat something you said in the middle there. Wherever God puts you, he gives you a resource which, if used wisely, can improve life. And that's for all of us.
Yes.
And our God loves to bless us. So let's praise him again now. Thank you, Justin.